Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today I'm going to continue with the theme of insider trading that occurred the week before and on the morning of 9/11, which strongly indicates prior knowledge of the attacks by many people around the world. And keep in mind, as you hear this, that the 9/11 Commission itself has said that the terrorists were not connected to these massive insider trades. The question is, who was? You're going to hear three audio clips today exposing the details of this insider trading prior to 9/11. The first clip was posted on YouTube on September 19th, 2008, by someone who goes by the title Free Energy for Everyone. So let's begin with that.
Insider trading on 9/11. A put option is a bet that a stock price is going to fall. If one were to put a single put option contract on American Airlines at $30 a share and the stock fell to $18, one could purchase 100 shares at $18 and immediately sell them for $30, netting a profit of $12 a share. This is exactly what happened on a far larger scale with many companies around the world on 9/11. The levels of options purchased the week of 9/11 were more than 6 times higher than normal. A former member of the German Parliament, then responsible for oversight of the German Secret Service, estimated that profits by insider traders were $15 billion. CBS News reported that, quote, at least 7 countries are dissecting suspicious trades that may have netted more than $100 million in profits, unquote, a much more conservative figure. In one clear example among many reported by CBS and AP, quote, the trades involved at least 500,000 shares of American Airlines, but what raised the red flag is more than 80% of the orders were puts, far outnumbering the call options, those betting the stock would rise. The source says they have never seen that kind of imbalance before. Normally the numbers are fairly even. An extremely unbalanced number of trades betting United stocks would fall also transformed into huge profits when it did fall after the hijackings and attacks. Shortly after 9/11, the Security and Exchange Commission issued a list of 38 companies whose shares had been suspiciously traded. All the firms had seen unusual levels of put options purchases right before 9/11, and almost every company's shares had fallen sharply right after the attacks. The Herzliya Institute for Counterterrorism documented enormous suspicious trades in a story entitled Black Tuesday, the World's Largest Insider Trading Scam? Convair, a German firm hired to retrieve the computer hard drives from the rubble of the World Trade Center, found that there was a deluge of electronic trading just minutes before the first plane struck. Richard Wagner, a data retrieval expert, estimated that more than $100 million in illegal transactions appeared to have rushed through the World Trade Center computers before and during the disaster. The Wall Street Journal reported that there was an unusually high volume in the purchase of 5-year Treasury notes just before the attacks, including one $5 billion trade. T-bills are used as a safe haven for investors when the markets are in trouble, and T-bill prices rose immediately after the attacks. Deutsche Bank Alex Brown is the American investment banking arm of the German giant Deutsche Bank and was used to purchase some of these options. One of the anonymous trades has left a $2.5 million prize unclaimed. The firm used to place the put options on United Airlines stock was managed until 1998 by the man who is now the number 3 executive director position at the CIA. A.B. Buzzy Krongard became vice chairman of Bankers Trust when the two firms merged, and his new position was to oversee private client relationships. Krongard had a special hands-on relationship with some of the wealthiest people in the world in a specialized banking operation that Senator Carl Levin identified as being connected to the laundering of drug money. Bankers Trust was acquired by Deutsche Bank in 1999 to form the single largest bank in Europe. Before 9/11, Kevin Ingram, an executor for Bankers Trust Deutsche Bank, pled guilty to laundering money to finance terrorist operations for groups linked to Osama bin Laden. Deutsche Bank has been a favorite of the bin Laden family and was connected to the hijackers and their support network. Deutsche Bank had corresponding relationships with banks in Bahrain and Kuwait that served George W. Bush when he engaged in illegal insider trading of shares of his company, Harkin Energy. Both banks, Kuwait Finance House and Faisal Islamic Bank of Bahrain, had dealt with Al-Qaeda and bin Laden. But when the Bush administration released its worldwide list of suspect financial institutions vowing to track down terrorist financing, neither bank was on the list. Mayo Shattuck III is a powerful force in the financial world. Head of the Alex Brown Deutsche Bank on 9/11, he had previously been involved in Enron, helping them conceal their massive debt, as well as involved in an insider trading scam involving Adnan Khashoggi's Genesis Intermedia immediately before 9/11. He was midway through a three-year, $30 million contract as head of Alex Brown when the attacks came, and under his management, some of the illegal trades on United Airlines were placed. Mayo Shattuck has taken over Alex Brown operations in 1997 after Krongard had officially gone to the CIA in 1998. Mayo Shattuck III resigned on the day after 9/11. A close associate of Council of Foreign Relations member Stephen Bechtel of the Bechtel Corporation. Shattuck is now the CEO of Constellation Energy Group, one of the firms that participated in Vice President Dick Cheney's Energy Task Force. Alex Brown refinanced the Carlyle Group when it purchased United Defense Technologies in 2000. Their relationship with the Bush family business, Carlyle, goes back seven decades to George W. Bush's grandfather, Prescott Bush, and Brown Brothers Harriman. Nine agencies, SEC, New York Stock Exchange, Congressional Budget Office, Department of Justice, FBI, Secret Service, CIA, Treasury, and NSA opened investigations into insider trading immediately after 9/11 based on obvious evidence that they initially admitted. Not one of these agencies has to this day divulged any information to the public. The logic of insider trading on 9/11 was made clear by the Pentagon when it announced plans for a futures market on terrorist attacks called the Policy Analysis Market. The official program is predicated on the admission that people with advanced knowledge of terrorist attacks would always seek to capitalize on that knowledge. Public outrage over the program forced the resignation of convicted Iran-Contra felon John Poindexter.
And now we'll go a little deeper with Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert, both financial analysts of the Kaiser Report. And here it is.
So I've been following this entire 10-year period basically focused on one thing and one thing only: the trading of put options on the airline stocks immediately preceding the attacks of 9/11. The volume on those put options was 25 times greater than normal volume, and the imbalance of puts to calls was 80% for puts, 20% for calls, which is a very high concentration of negative bets on 25 times normal volume. Usually, this is exactly what you see right before an announcement of a takeover, and the options market reflects inside information. When regulators try to figure out who is trading on inside information, they look at the options market. There's a thing on Wall Street called Stockwatch. It's a group, like a little sleuth group on Wall Street looking for insider trading. And they look at the options, they look at volume, and they look at price. And when you see 25 times normal volume and huge prices and spike in price and huge imbalances of put-to-call ratio, this is usually a telltale sign of insider trading. So that we saw the exact same thing leading up to the 9/11 attacks on the airline stocks that all made millions and millions of dollars in profits based on insider information on those attacks. Now, we have a little update. David Callahan, who's the executive director of Smart CEO Magazine, which I believe is actually published somewhere around Baltimore, Maryland, where the former headquarters of Alex Brown and Son, which was taken over by Deutsche Bank, the brokerage firm that handled these option trades, he has submitted a Freedom of Information Act request to the SEC regarding the pre-9/11 put options. And the letter that he got back was startling, and he writes about it in the August edition of Smart CEO Magazine. Basically, what he was told was that all that information has been destroyed.
The SEC wrote back to him and said that the government destroyed those documents.
Right.
That relates to those pre-9/11 put options in American Airlines and United. It was just those two airlines that had massive shorts on them.
That's right.
Or puts, as they call them.
Right. That's right. And the information was destroyed. And this is unusual, to say the least. It wasn't as though they had some other alternative explanation for the huge anomalies in the option market, like there was some kind of hedging strategy being put on.
Well, the 9/11 Commission report says, oh, we looked into this. They do mention it in the 9/11 Commission report. And they say, we looked into it. It was, they reckon the extreme options were abnormal. And remember, United and American do have an option record going back decades. So They were able to see it was a drastic anomaly. And they blame it on a newsletter that recommended people short these two stocks. And they said it was a legitimate firm through which the bets were placed, meaning Alex Brown. They failed to mention in the 9/11 Commission report that Alex Brown had been run for several decades by the number three man at the CIA, Buzzy Krongard, who had moved to the CIA under George Bush.
That's right. He was in the CIA office, moving from Alex Brown to the CIA. He was deputy director under George Tenet. And there's tremendous overlap between, we know that a lot of the hedge funds that buy U.S. government bonds to help to support the U.S. government bond market are hedge funds that are registered in the Cayman Islands. And there's a lot of study in terms of, and research in terms of the owners and the backers of these hedge funds being U.S. intelligence agencies that are buying these bonds to help support the bond market. So the markets and the intelligence services and Alex Brown in Baltimore, Maryland, which is right near Washington, D.C., George Tenet, Buzzy Krongard, there's tremendous overlap going there. Now, my feeling has always been from really the day after 9/11 is that there was a sufficient amount of information circulating on the desks and in the research notes of these brokers and insiders, enough to commit millions in buying these put options, speculating on the collapse in a sufficient amount of time that would have warranted, considering these are intelligence officials, a closer examination of what was happening. And in my opinion, had the motive to protect people been greater than the motive to profit from this inside information, those attacks would have never happened. But because those folks had a profit motive that usurped their people motive, they simply looked the other way. The trade became too juicy. Because when you're buying options for 25 cents an option that have the ability to go to $20 or $30 an option in a matter of days, the windfall profits are spectacular. Now, that I am absolutely assured of, and that's what I call the green information. Then there's the yellow information, which is kind of, not as well, it becomes a bit hazy. And then there's the red information, which is behind firewalls, which we just don't have access to. But that is my green information, that there was enough information, the insiders, the people involved, could have stopped this thing in advance. But simply their motivation, and this is part and parcel of the motivation throughout the U.S. economy. It's the motivation for the oil companies not to put in adequate protection to their drilling in the Gulf, which leads to eco-holocaust, eco-terrorism.
But look at Goldman Sachs and Tony Hayward himself. They both dumped massive amounts of stock in BP just before the explosion. And, of course, only they knew that the well had failed critical safety tests.
Yes, right.
and it was from high up, and there's now more and more email documentation and evidence emerging that senior executives at BP ordered the drilling to continue, even though there were people from Transocean, from Halliburton, like getting into near fistfights on the platform saying, like, this is a dangerous situation.
You know, the whole strategy of the so-called Black Swan Fund by Talib Nassim, basically what he does is he has a huge portfolio with some income generated in some passive investments like corporate bonds, and he takes the income and he buys out of the money options on a variety of scenarios and just sits back and waits for a catastrophe.
But you could provoke them as well. Either you know insider information, like there were no options as far as I know yet on the BP spill because they couldn't know the exact date. They did know that their own well failed the safety test. But with the 9/11 attacks, they had Moussaoui in custody 4 days before the event. And lo and behold, that's when the put options were placed. Who knows about that? But if you look at the past week alone, okay, we know the flash crash of May 6th, but look at the last week. You had Diebold. It crashed, what, 34, 36% in the course of 2 minutes, 1 minute? Washington Post, the price of that doubled in a matter of minutes
mm-hmm.
on another day.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went back to where it was, and same with Diebold, went back to where it was. Now, aren't these events that are just triggering options and, you know, program trading and...
Yeah, they generate huge profits. And this gets into another area then, provoking the events,
yeah,
which is different than just waiting for the events. And this is what I call the yellow information. So in the case of 9/11, whether the attacks were provoked by the same people who were benefiting in the inside information, those details are less documented. But in the case of other incidents, like the flash crash of May 6th, that was clearly a provoked crash, a financial terrorist attack, for the benefit of a few insiders. The two instances that you just mentioned, Diebold and Washington Post, clearly, given the incredible volatility in this short period of time and the options trading around it, this would be a provoked domestic financial terrorist attack for the benefit of a few insiders. And these are getting greater and greater. The only way to stop it from happening is to raise the cost of capital so that it's expensive, actually, to borrow money to speculate and provoke terror like this.
And now let's go even deeper with German financial journalist Lars Schaal and Michael Rupert, author of Crossing the Rubicon. And here they are.
And now I will talk with Michael C. Rupert, the author of Crossing the Rubicon, a book which was published in summer of 2004. In it, Mike Rupert discussed the topic of 9/11 insider trading at full length. He is, in my humble opinion, one of the best investigative journalists in the United States. Mike Rupert, do you know this little book?
It looks kind of familiar. It looks kind of like this one, yes. That's a book that I wrote that came out in 2004.
Yeah, and it is part of the business library of the Harvard Economic School, right?
It is also, I believe, the second largest selling book in the world about the attacks of September 11th.
And in it you write, or you wrote, about insider trading or informed trading on the attacks of 9/11. How did this come to your attention?
Well, of course, I was a journalist active at the time with a website, From the Wilderness, which is still archived on the web. And from the moment of the attacks, I began an immediate investigation. And it was within a matter of a week or so of the attacks that I became aware of global awareness of massive insider trading, not just in the United States, but in markets from Tokyo to San Francisco to Chicago to New York to London and to Berlin. So I jumped on that right away.
But one of the most interesting stories has to do with the company called Alex Brown, which is, by the way, the oldest investment bank of the U.S.
Also deeply connected to the George Herbert Walker Bush family and clan, where Prescott Bush and George Herbert Walker Bush had worked in earlier incarnations. Yes.
And one guy who is of interest here is a fellow by the name of A.B. Buzzy Krongard. Can you elaborate on this a little bit?
Well, yes. Work I had done prior to 9/11 demonstrated very clearly to me that the intelligence agencies and the financial markets are one and the same. Most intelligence agencies were created to serve financial markets. So right after the attacks of 9/11, the name Buzzy Krongard surfaced, and just it was instant research. that revealed that Buzzy Krongard had been allegedly recruited by CIA Director George Tenet to become the executive director at CIA, which is the number three position right before the attacks. And Alex Brown was one of the then a subsidiary of Deutsche Bank, was one of the primary instruments or vehicles that handled all of these criminal trades by people who obviously knew that the attacks were going to take place where, how, and involving specific airlines.
And another story that you write about is Promise. It's a software by which the intelligence agencies monitor the stock market in real time. Why is this of importance here?
Well, Promise has a very long, deep, and bloody history with a great many dead bodies along the way. And it had been a subject for journalists prior to 9/11. But what was clear right after the attacks of 9/11 was that Promise was involved, as evidenced by stories in major news organizations from Fox to whatever. Promise allows real-time monitoring of stock transactions anywhere in the world. It's been mated with artificial intelligence, and it is a software throughout the course of the 80s and the 90s was modified by U.S. and Israeli intelligence to include back doors that allowed the people who provided the software, whether it be to banks or whatever, to quietly go inside and look at everything that was taking place and actually to manipulate data inside any database where it had been installed.
Since we talk about software, there's one story related to Conva. Conva received the order to rescue hard drives from the WTC. And you were contacted by an employee of Deutsche Bank who saw something related to, well, that there was happening something right before the attacks occurred. Could you tell us a little bit about this?
Yes. It was no more than a week after the attacks, I was being contacted by a lot of people from inside official sources who were raising a lot of questions. This one particular person was extremely credible. They absolutely convinced me they had been an employee of Deutsche Bank in the Twin Towers. And they told me very clearly that in the moments right before the attacks and during the attack, there was a 40-minute window between the time the first plane struck the World Trade Center and the second plane, that Deutsche Bank's computers in New York City had been taken over, absolutely co-opted and run. There was a massive data purge, a massive data download, and all kinds of stuff was moving. And what this person said very clearly was that no one in the Deutsche Bank offices in the towers at the time had the ability to prevent what was going on from any of their terminals.
And what does the Conva story tell you? For example, the FBI said that this never happened, that Conva rescued hard drives, and basically because everything on the WTC, the facility, was vaporized. But Conva's activity is evidence to the contrary.
Yes, and of course, there is such a mountain of hubris and a mountain of lies covering up the facts around what happened with that, that no government story is credible. The fact of the crime of insider trading was the equivalent, I'm a former police detective, of seeing a dead body in the middle of the street with 100 bullet holes in it. You know a murder has been committed. That's the way the insider trading happened. And everything that has happened since officially from governments has just done, its only purpose has been to tell people that there was no dead body, which is not true. Convar was hired to reconstruct data from hard drives, and I don't think anyone will ever know what was recovered from that effort.
What does the whole story about the insider trading or informed trading on 9/11 tell you? For example, our friend Max Kaiser always talks about financial terrorists. Do we have here a case of terror trading?
No terrorist organization in the world had the ability to know, to do, or to execute this. That was clearly established. And I believe two or three years after 9/11, the U.S. government and the 9/11 Commission said there was no evidence that terrorists were making any of these trades. It's not possible. Nobody has access to the markets like that. And again, I come back to the historical, absolute symbiotic linkage between intelligence services and the financial markets. All intelligence services from the first time there was one have arisen from bankers, from the people who move the money. That's what and who they serve. So what the insider trading tells us is that there were a large number of people unknown how many, a significant number of people, making these massive trades, placing the put options in the week, 10 days prior to the attacks, with complete knowledge of how, when, and where the attacks were going to be executed and which airlines were going to be used. And the point I made very clearly in Crossing the Rubicon is that knowing that the CIA does this, I'd established that monitors the markets in real time. Plus, when you add the fact that Bundesnachrichtendienst, many intelligence services from Russia to Israel to Germany to all over the world were specifically warning that hijacked aircraft were going to be crashed into the World Trade Center in the week of September 9th, it is inconceivable that U.S. intelligence agencies did not know that as well. Given the Buzzi-Krongard relationship, it is very clear to me, and that's the case I make throughout the book, Crossing the Rubicon, that an absolutely criminal United States Zionist criminal enterprise, which we see functioning manifestly today, 10 years later, unchecked, not only orchestrated the attacks of September 11th, but made enormous amounts of criminal profit from that. And we are living in the world now with the 2008 and the current financial collapse. We're witnessing what happens when criminal enterprises don't get challenged. And now the current tension that might lead to nuclear war with Israel is the work of the same group of people who got away with that crime on September the 11th, and no one has ever challenged.
Since the beginning of 2005, you were very reluctant to talk about 9/11. You are now talking with me about a specific aspect of it. What has you drove to do this?
Well, the so-called 9/11 truth movement was hijacked by disinformation artists, by profiteers, by con men, to the point where those who had done the original hard professional investigation could not be heard. And there was no additional window after the election of 2004 to really hope for any miracle that we might get this before a tribunal or address the fundamental crimes. What's different now in 2012, of course, is that peak oil is eating the world. Global economic collapse is fully underway. And the United States and Israel, in order to protect dollar hegemony, are ready to go into a nuclear conflict with Iran. Also, what's different now is that the United States is fundamentally much weaker from the global perspective than it was in 2001. It is no longer able to protect its friends. It's being routed in Afghanistan. It has tried to muscle Iran several times, abject failures on the embargoes and all this other stuff that's going on right now. And the world is recognizing that the U.S. Zionist alliance is the fundamental engine driving all this criminal activity. And I'm hoping, and I'm seeing this willingness emerge, I think, in some governments around the world, that the world which went along with the U.S., obviously the U.S. lies about September the 11th then, because they had a lot to lose, the U.S. was powerful, is now reevaluating and say, this is nonsense. These people are threatening the life of everyone on the planet. Let's go back and let's tell the truth about 9/11. And I see that as a possible means, if the will is mustered and some major national governments step up to back this, to really end this criminal dominance that's destroying everything right now. All they've got to do is mention Crossing the Rubicon. It's 600 pages with 1,000 footnotes. And in all the years that the book has been out, the United States government has spent many millions of dollars refuting so-called 9/11, what they call conspiracy theories. In the 8 years since, with my book being the second largest book sold, the United States government has never been able to say my name once or to admit that the book even exists. That's because they're afraid of it. There's a lot of evidence here, and it's simple. All we need to do is hopefully find somebody with the will to pursue it.
And would you say to follow the money is the right approach related to 9/11, for example, related to the insider trading?
Follow the money is qui bono, who benefited? Follow the money and see where it went. Those records are still around somewhere, but at this juncture, I wouldn't even approach it by trying to do a forensic criminal investigation. I would just continue to put pressure on, and somebody inside who absolutely knows this, and a great many people did, will step forward and start talking about what they know. That's what we need.
We are now at the end of this video. For further information, you should read Insider Trading 9/11, The Facts Laid Bare, which was published by Asia Times Online. You should also read Detecting Informed Trading in the Option Markets by Professor Mark Chesney from the University in Zurich, Switzerland. The significance of this 9/11 story was underlined by Max Kaiser, who told me, "Regardless of who did it, we can know that more than a few had advanced warning. The trading in the option market makes that clear."
This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.